How is it possible to feel lonely while surrounded by people who love you? Today we discover the solution to feeling lonely, unloved, and neglected.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Some reading this past week on the topic of loneliness, what one author referred to as the epidemic problem of loneliness in our culture. One study showed that in 2010, 35% of people age 45 and older are reporting being chronically lonely. That's quite an increase from just 10 years earlier when it was only 20%, from 20% all the way up to 35%. Our culture is just becoming more and more individualistic and isolated, and it's creating a major problem with loneliness. So how about you? What's it like in your life? Do you struggle with feeling like nobody to talk to a lot of times, or nobody really understands you, or you find yourself fairly often waiting for someone to call or email or pay you a visit, or you find yourself unable to reach out to people in a meaningful way, or you feel starved for company, hard to make friends, or you feel excluded, you're kind of on the outside looking in with some group that you'd like to be on the inside with? All aspects of loneliness. More and more people are finding themselves feeling those ways, and that's a concern for researchers, because loneliness has been linked to all kinds of physical problems. It's as much of a health risk, they say, as smoking. Lonely people almost always have poor health. Those feelings, those that I just described, cause stress hormones. And if you have stress hormones going in you for an extended period, they cause things like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, neurodegenerative diseases, Alzheimer's, obesity, and even cancer. They found that tumors metastasize faster in lonely people than other people. The military is spending millions of dollars trying to address the problem of loneliness, because lonely soldiers, they found, don't function very well in battle. One famous researcher had amazing results treating mentally ill people just by addressing the problem of loneliness. She postulated that, quote, loneliness lay at the heart of nearly all mental illness, and no patient was too sick to be healed through trust and intimacy, end quote. So it's a problem. Now, of all the problems we have in society, you would think this loneliness would have to be the easiest one to solve in a world of 7 billion people. How hard could it be to solve the problem of loneliness? But the mere presence of people doesn't cure the problem of loneliness, does it? Even in the church. And this is a problem in the church. Churches are constantly coming up with programs and groups to help people get connected. Singles groups, men's ministries, women's ministries, youth groups, fellowship groups, community groups, retreats, picnics, game nights, everything we can think of to create a context where friendships can develop in the church. The problem is, lonely people don't come to those things. One of the most interesting things that I've read in all the research, and the researchers, the psychologists that have done the research in this area, it's fascinating stuff. But one of the most interesting things I read was that the more loneliness a person feels, the more he will tend to respond by moving away from people, withdrawing. When you're not feeling lonely, you're more willing to go out and be with people. When you start feeling lonely, that makes you less inclined to go be with people. Exact opposite of what you would naturally think. And the reason for that, they say, is that loneliness or non-loneliness is not a function of whether you're around people. According to the researchers, it has more to do with worrying about what people think of you. Lonely people tend to make a lot of assumptions about how people perceive them. They interpret every little thing as a sign that people don't like me. And when you think that people don't like you and they're looking down on you, you don't want to be around them, right? So some of the leading experts in the field, the way they're trying to address the problem of loneliness, they're going around, they're teaching classes on how to read body language so that these lonely people won't think that everybody's looking down on them. If they could just read the signs better, if they could read facial expressions better and body language better, then they wouldn't make those assumptions. The problem with that is, Even if you could get so that you could perfectly read someone else's heart, which you can't because only God can see the heart. But even if you could, a lot of people think they can. Even if you could do that, what you would find out is there's a bunch of people out there that really don't like you. I mean, that's just the truth. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. You don't like everybody. Why would everybody like you? Right? That's not going to help. Here's the reality. As long as you are focused on what people think of you, you are always going to feel unloved, neglected, looked down on, or even rejected. So, what's the solution? I believe the solution is found in the book of Philippians. One of the most striking things about this book is the depth of intimacy and the profoundness of the friendships that we read about in this book. Philippians is commonly known as the book of what? Joy. Yeah, right. The book of joy. But I think it would be equally accurate to call it the book of love or the book of friendship. It's the book of joy, but it was joy, a specific kind of joy. It was the joy that came particularly from the intimacy of the friendships that existed in that church and between them and Paul. So whether you're a lonely person or maybe you're not lonely, but for whatever reason you're lacking joy in your life or depth of friendships, this is going to be a great book for you. So let me start by just letting the cat out of the bag right up front and tell you the overall message of the book of Philippians. The church in Philippi had a unity problem. Paul brings up the issue of unity in every chapter. He brings it up in connection particularly with their suffering. Their suffering was causing a unity problem. They're a lot like the churches that James wrote to. It's the same problem. They were suffering and they were responding poorly to their suffering and it caused conflict. It fractured the unity. The way that they responded to their suffering fractured the unity of the church.
I'd like to zero in on that statement. As long as you are focused on what people think of you, you're always going to feel unloved, neglected, looked down on, or even rejected. How focused are you on what people think of you and how others treat you? How much of your attention does that take up compared to how much you're loving others and treating others well? Whichever one of those occupies your mind, there won't be much of the other because they come from such opposite perspectives. And focusing on the first will drain your joy and sweep you down the river of loneliness, while the other will fill up your joy and other people's joy. It will even bring a smile to God's face. It'll even bring a smile to God's face. See if you can catch yourself a few times today when you start thinking about yourself, how people are treating you or failing to love you, or how things are going wrong for you, any form of self-pity. Try to catch yourself and turn your attention 180 degrees so it faces outward instead of inward. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. If I love people this way, Lord, I will be welcome to dwell in your sanctuary near your presence, and I'll never be shaken. Teach me how to remain in Christ, that he might remain in me. I want to be a fruitful branch, not a branch that's thrown away and withers and then is burned. If I remain in Christ and his words remain in me, you, Father, will give whatever I ask for your own glory. As you have loved your Son, so he loved me. Teach me what it means to remain in that love today by obeying his commands. And his command is that I love the people around me as Jesus loved me. I want to do that so that Christ's joy may be in me and my joy may be complete. Father, your name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. Lord Jesus, all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. In everything, you have the supremacy. To you who loved me and who gave yourself to free me from my sin by your blood, and who made me to be a royal priest to serve your God and Father, to you be power and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.